Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning on this day, Thursday, January 16th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for the day. It's your man, James Jackson. We are on the other side of the back-to-backs from Wednesday, or Tuesday and Wednesday, I should say. The Sixers fought. Sixers battled. They pushed the Knicks to overtime. Unfortunately, it was not enough. They did not prevail. They lost to the Knicks last night in overtime, 125-119. I'll get to my breakdown of last night's game in just a little bit, but make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast, keeping you up to date. It's not the last back-to-back they have this week. So there's more Sixers basketball to come. But you know how I do with the daily pods is go over the agenda. I'll go over the schedule for the remaining games of the week. I'll get to some scores around the league, some teams we should pay attention to as Sixers fans. I'll get to some injury news, regular news, and then I will get to my analysis, my three takeaways from last night's tough loss to the New York Knicks at home, the second night of a back-to-back for the Sixers. But let's get to the rest of the games this week. Off today before the Sixers hit the road for two games this weekend. Another back-to-back ensues for them. They play the Pacers on Saturday, and then they play the Milwaukee Bucks on Sunday. So back-to-backs just all over the schedule for the Sixers. Paul George said it last week, it doesn't get any easier. It's not going to. Milwaukee or Indiana on Saturday, Milwaukee on Sunday to play the Pacers and the Knicks, two teams who are playing a lot better as of lately. The Pacers have won. They've won six of the last seven games, right? They just lost to the Cavs most recently, but before that, we're on a six-game winning streak. Before that, winning seven of the last nine, or seven of the last eight games before, you know, the loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So the Pacers are not the same team that kind of started their season sputtering. They look like more of the team last year who won, who went to the NBA East in-season tournament final, went to the Eastern Conference Finals. So this is a Pacers team that can put it together. We see them on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the Sixers go and play the Milwaukee Bucks, who are also playing a lot better as of recently. So the Bucks, winners of five of their last seven. So they have, you know, are playing in very good form right now. Giannis is kind of staying in that MVP conversation. Dame is doing great. Their defense is playing a lot better. So the Bucks and the Pacers both playing a lot better than we kind of cited them in the beginning of the year. Sixers see them this weekend to play. Will be the third time they play the Pacers this season. Will be the second time they play the Bucks since playing them on opening night. And we know that was probably the start of all the downhill spiraling that has been this season for the Sixers. Let's get to some scores around the league, some teams we should pay attention to for the Sixers. The Celtics got surprised in Toronto, 110-97. Doesn't really have any effect on the Sixers either way. The Raptors are too low to catch Sixers. The Celtics are too high for the Sixers to catch them in the standings. But I see you, Toronto. 110-97, beating Boston up in the six. So good job for the Raptors. Good news and bad news for the Sixers as the Hawks beat the Bulls. So one step forward and one step backwards for the Sixers too, but it was a good thing that they beat the Bulls. Bulls are closer to the Sixers than the Hawks are. 110-94 for the Hawks. It was an unusual suspect for the Hawks. Keaton Wallace was the leading scorer in the game for them. 27 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists for him. Clint Capella had a double-double, 11 points, 10 rebounds. Trae Young did not play in the game last night, so he's dealing with an injury, but they got Boogie off the bench. Onyeka Okongwu, Big O off the bench, 14 points, 19 points for Daquan Plowden off the bench too. So the Hawks get some pretty balanced scoring, and they just kind of quieted the Bulls. That's what it was. Kobe White was the leading scorer for the Bulls with 16 points. Zach LaVine had 15 and 7 to go along with him. 10 points from Julian Phillips off the bench. But it was really less about what the Hawks did and more about what the Bulls didn't do tonight. Not going to win many games in today's NBA with, you know, scoring 94 points or your leading scorer having 16 points. That is an off day for the Bulls. They've been playing better recently. Nick Vooch had a double-double as well, 14 points, 16 rebounds. So the Bulls drop one. The Hawks get one, though, out in Chicago. And then in Milwaukee, the Bucks, told you how well they've been playing lately. They beat the Magic 122-93, 22-17 now. The Bucks, 14th win at home. Damian Lillard led the way for them. It was a good game for him. Let's see, 30 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Giannis had 26 points and 11 rebounds for the Bucks, so poured in a good game. Brooke Lopez then with 13 points. Cash Money Middleton trying to figure life out, coming off the bench now, 14 points, 6 rebounds for him, plus 19 in the box score. It's a double-edged sword for Chris Middleton because you want to play well. You don't want your stats to suffer, but the better you play, the more it makes the Bucks feel like this was a good decision and the better decision for him to come off the bench, especially if they're still winning. So it seems like this was the right move, bringing Chris Middleton to the bench. He has not suffered that much. He's given good games for them. 14 points for him in the win. The Bucks get the win over the Orlando Magic. 122-93 was Paolo Banchero. 22 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists for him. 12 points and 10 rebounds for Wendell Carter to give him a double-double as well. So they're still figuring it out without Franz Wagner. Paolo Banchero looks good, though. I mean, you can't really ask for him to look that much better coming back, missing all this time off of a torn oblique, 22 points. Again, he was a minus 25 in the box score. But 22 points, you know, he's given consistent 20-point games since he's coming back. So Paolo Banchero is good. I know the Magic dropped this one, but they've still looked good as their stars are kind of, you know, coming back from injury and figuring it out. I think those were the last games that we really needed to pay attention to. Miami did drop one in L.A. That's right. LeBron got his old team, made some fans days after the game two en route to a win. 117-108, the Lakers get the Heat in L.A. Rui Hachimura was the leading scorer for the Lakers in this game. 23 points and 8 rebounds, but they got really balanced scoring. All 5 starters in double figures. LeBron James, 22 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds for them. Gabe Vincent came off the bench at 14 points. Maybe 2 years after they signed Gabe Vincent, they might starting to be getting the Gabe Vincent that they signed for, right? Went through injuries these last 2 years. You know, after coming off a great finals run with the Miami Heat and being, you know, with him, Caleb Martin, Max Strus being the unsigned free agents that helped the Heat get to where they wanted to get to. It's been the last 2 years have been very bad with the Lakers, but 14 points off the bench in the win for him. Tyler Hero doing his best to be the star player the Heat kind of need in this void right now. 34 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists for him, but he didn't get much help. Hayward Highsmith was the next leading scorer for them for the starters. 12 points, 3 rebounds, 12 points for Nikola Jovic off the bench, but not really much help anywhere else. Bam Adebayo had just 10 points. Jaime Hawkins Jr. had just 11 points. So 117-108, the Lakers get the Heat. Heat still in the midst of the Jimmy Butler saga, have not made a move yet. There's been no reports as to which teams have become the front runner, so we will see. He's not dealt yet. He's not gone yet. Let's look at the full standings, see where the Sixers stand in the Eastern Conference, that 11 seed. I mean, they can start to put, you know, stuff in the yard now. They could start to put decorations up in the living room. That 11 seed seems to be home for the Sixers. Two games out from the Chicago Bulls after their loss last night, too, for that 10th and final play-in spot. They are far. It looks like they're, what, 5.5 games back of the Detroit Pistons for that 7th and first play-in spot, and then they are 6 total games back of the Indiana Pacers for that 6th and final playoff spot. It's mathematically not out of the possibility the Sixers get to that 7th or 6th seed. It would be irresponsible for me to sit here and sell that, like the Sixers could get there, or that's within, you know, reach, or that's within eyesight. I just think that's too far. It's not like those teams don't play games too. Those teams have the ability to keep winning games too, and the Sixers don't show the ability to string multiple kind of winning streaks together, especially at the time these other teams are doing it. You look at now the Bucks putting win streaks together, moved up to the 4th seed. Pacers putting win streaks together, moved up to the 6th seed. The Pistons putting win streaks together, moved up to the 7th seed, right? I mean, the Heat saw themselves like last week, a week and a half ago, at the 6th seed. They're in the 9th seed now, right? They're falling. So this Eastern Conference is not as penetrable as it was maybe a month ago when we were looking at it. Sixers are losing ground, man. Right? Only now 2 games ahead of the Brooklyn Nets for that 11th seed. You keep losing, you're going to find yourself neck and neck with the Nets soon. So, not great. Sixers are losers of their last 4 in a row now. Keeps them in that 11th seed in the Eastern Conference. No real injury news. Nick Nurse kind of updated us on Joel Embiid, as he did not play in either game of the back-to-back this week. Updated us and said that he will be day-to-day moving forward, continuing with his foot injury. Was notified before the game Tuesday and yesterday that he wasn't going to be able to go after a shoot around, and that, you know, he was Nick Nurse. All the information he had for his pregame was that it was nagging him, that he, you know, was not able to go. He's not able to play in the games, and, you know, he will be day to day. He will be reevaluated on their road trip this weekend to see if he can play against the Pacers and the Bucks. That's what we have, so that is what we disseminate. That's the information that we give. It is still not cited as his knee. It's still being looked at as his foot that is keeping him out. So take that with what you may, with a grain of salt, a silver lining, however you seem or, you know, here to look at that. That is that's the news that we got from Nick Nurse yesterday before the game on Joel Embiid. No other real injury news. We will get the injury report before the Pacers game. I will be back tomorrow morning and see, you know, what the Sixers kind of say, who's ready to go, who's not. I believe they have an off day today, probably have practice tomorrow. So we will see, you know, who's feeling what, how they're feeling, and who's going to be ready to go this weekend. No other major news, so I will take a small break. On the other side of the break, my 3 takeaways from a tough loss last night to the New York Knicks in Philadelphia. So stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. I know we're kind of dragging this week because of being 0-2 to start the week. Not winning either game of a back-to-back at home will put us in a kind of a down state, but we must move. We must keep going. Thank you for starting your day with me in this Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers pod. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at GBJ23 for myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast on Twitter. Let's get to last night's game and break it down just a little bit. 3 takeaways from the loss last night against the New York Knicks, 125-119 in overtime. Did push the Knicks to OT. It was a tough game, but the Sixers were not able to win. Honorable mention takeaway was the energy and the effort on the defensive end. Not execution, really, but energy and effort. Nick Nurse kind of noted in his post game about back-to-back nights, about how his team did not kind of roll over and let the game get away, how they tightened themselves up in the middle quarters on defense, got themselves back in the ball games, gave themselves a chance to win both nights. It just didn't happen. So let's get to my takeaways. First thing is Tyrese Maxey's kind of demeanor. He looks discouraged. That is the simplest way I can put it, is he just doesn't look happy. Look, he didn't have a bad game last night. Got his 33 points at a couple points in the game, couple stretches in the game. He looked really good, and we thought that, okay, Maxey might be able to put this thing on his back, maybe get the Sixers back into this, maybe help them take the lead. That 33 points, if you just watched it, just watched the game and didn't look at the box score at all. It didn't feel like he had 33. He wasn't moving like he was one of the leading scorers in the game. It looked like he was fighting every possession, like crawling, scratching, working super hard to get good looks. And he didn't get many of them, right? A lot of fall-away jumpers, a lot of tough layups, a lot of long contested threes. He made some of them, right? But it was just, it was a battle for Maxey on the offensive end to get this score and to get these points. And you can tell he's working so hard. The Sixers are working so hard to get their buckets. They're spending more energy either trying to get themselves back in the ball games, trying to work so hard on the offensive end. They don't have much energy to do much other, many other things on the court. And it just, I've been talking to a couple of, you know, beat writers, a couple of people I've gotten to know on the circuit as I've been following the Sixers this season. Guys like, shout out my guy, Kai Carlin. Shout out my guy, Zach Shavala. You know, Paul Hudrick, a couple of guys that I've been talking to on the beat. And I, it just seems like this season is getting to Maxey. Of all the people that are being affected by the up and down, you know, roller coaster of emotions of a season that we're having, it seems to be the young star, right? We've seen how it's affecting Joel Embiid. Paul George has talked about a little bit how it's affecting him. But we can see that Maxey's trying. Right. He's trying to battle through things. He's trying to be a professional about it. But that spirit, that energy, that joy that everyone talks about with Tyrese Maxey is not there. He don't even smile that much anymore. He don't even joke and laugh that much anymore. It's not funny. Right. The season's not fun. Season's not good. And this is a guy in Tyrese Maxey who plays off of energy. Right, who plays the game with joy is one of his biggest strengths. One of the things that allows and propels him past other players. He doesn't have that right now. And he has to be the one, because he's the most available one, who has to sit in front of the media every night and answer the questions as we're frustrated as to what's going on. Knowing that it's really not his fault. And it's not anything he can control. So we're going to get 30 points here and there from Maxey. We're going to get our 25. We're going to get our 26. We're not going to get the Mad Max imposing games. Not while he's got this energy. Not while he's got this demeanor. We just can't. I feel super bad. I feel discouraged when I'm looking at Maxey's body language, because, you know, It sucks that this season has kind of seemingly taken a little bit, if not most of his joy from the game. Just this season, though. Just this season. Second thing, my second takeaway from last night's game. This Justin Edwards thing may not have been a one-game thing. May not have been just a flash in the pan. He played well again last night and was rewarded with more minutes. Nick Nurse again was asked about Justin Edwards' play in the postgame, and it is not a coincidence when anybody gets 35 minutes, right? Played starter minutes, right? If you switch him and Eric Gordon, he would make more sense in the starting lineup based on the minutes output than Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon did have 14 points, did have himself a good game, 3 of 5 from three. But Justin Edwards also had himself a good game, 10 points off the bench, 2 of 4 from three, 4 of 6 from the field. And his energy and effort on the defensive end is probably what kept him in the game for, you know, that crucial stretch, a crucial crunch, right? We're coming down in the fourth quarter, tie ball game, trying to send this thing to overtime or possibly win it. And we look, and there's Justin Edwards out there with Paul George, Gorshon Yabusele, Kelly Oubre, and Tyrese Maxey, right? Giving length and size on the defensive end, shooting the ball well on the offensive end, right? 50% from three the past couple of nights. Scoring the ball, making the right play. So Justin Edwards, the rookie, carving himself out a role in some minutes and giving himself an opportunity. He talked after the Thunder game on Tuesday about how guys being out gives him an opportunity to showcase what he can do and help this team and impact the team, and he's done it. He's done a great job of doing it as well. So even though it was a loss, even though this, you know, it's not like Justin Edwards came in and locked somebody down or hit the game-winning shot, it's really good to see that when given an opportunity both nights that he took advantage of it. And he played very well, and he found himself in crunch time on the floor defending the likes of Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart and good scorers like that, good players in this league. I think we should be encouraged by that. He should be encouraged by that. It's a small good sign, but a good sign nonetheless that, you know, Justin Edwards the past two nights has been a bright spot for the Sixers. Something positive that we can take away from these last two games has been just the play of Justin Edwards. So wanted to shout him out. My last takeaway is not a good one from the game last night of the many things that went wrong. And it wasn't crazy bad, right? They lost by six at the end of the day in overtime to the third ranked team in the Eastern Conference. So at the end of the day, not a terrible loss, right? A lot of us were kind of pleasantly surprised about how they clawed their way back into the game, much like they did on Tuesday against the Thunder. But nonetheless, they could not keep Josh Hart from doing really what Josh Hart wanted to do. If he wanted to score the ball more, he could have scored the ball more. 10 points, 17 rebounds, and 12 assists. And I want to know how many of those were offensive rebounds, because I'm sure so many of those were offensive boards for Josh Hart. Josh Hart is about 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", in that range, right? Not much bigger than that. And he was the leading rebounder in the game, by far, actually. Next biggest was Kelly Oubre with 10 points, or 10 rebounds, I should say. So Josh Hart was the reason, one of the big reasons the Knicks beat the Sixers in the playoffs at the end of last season was his rebounding, was a big reason they beat him in November in an NBA Cup group stage game. It was a big reason they beat him last night. Josh Hart controlling the boards, controlling the paint for the Knicks, not just against the Sixers, but for the season, has been a huge, huge boost for the Knicks, and something the Sixers cannot figure out and something that they don't have. When I get so excited when Kelly Oubre has these really good games, when he's impacting the game on the box score and outside of the box score, it's because it's something like this is what I see a role like Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre is probably the closest thing the Sixers have to a Josh Hart, right? And if the Sixers were fully healthy, it's not like we would see Kelly Oubre give, you know, triple doubles, because we might not see him give, you know, 12 assists. But to think that Kelly Oubre could give, you know, 10 to 15 points and 10 to 12 boards, he got 10 boards last night, right? Did he get a double-double? He had 16 points and 10 boards last night, right? So this is what Josh Hart does on a nightly basis, and it allows guys like Jalen Brunson to just focus on scoring, guys like Cat to focus on scoring and doing other things, guys like OG and Mikal to focus and do other things. And he does so much of the dirty work, and for some reason, he is his most effective when he plays the Philadelphia 76ers, right? He's just wants it more sometimes. Got more energy on the offensive glass, got more energy in the defensive glass, makes the right play when he gets the ball in his hands, right? Like, not many times that the ball is out of Jalen Brunson's hands, Cat's hands, OG's hands. And when it's in Josh Hart's hands, he just makes a quick, decisive, and the right decision, gets it to somebody, and they most of the time get a good offensive possession out of it. So Josh Hart, again, last night was just keeping the Sixers at bay seemingly by himself to get it to Jalen Brunson. Now, Jalen Brunson had 38. Like, Jalen Brunson had himself a very good game, but it seemed like Josh Hart was, like I said, the most impactful person in the game last night for the New York Knicks. So my three takeaways from a tough loss in New York: the demeanor of Tyrese Maxey. Something got to change. So you got to get, you know what I mean? We got to get the energy and the joy back. Justin Edwards carving himself out a role these last two nights. And Josh Hart just controlling the paint and the Wells Fargo Center. It all led to a 125-119 Knicks win over the 76ers. So I will be back tomorrow morning to end the week and to preview a Pacers game on Saturday. So everyone enjoy their Thursday. And until then, I will see everyone in 24 hours.